Hello again, and welcome to the B-side for Titus 3. Peyton had a little more to talk about here in Titus that didn't quite fit the audio guide. There are three short sections here. First will be a little analogy involving one of our favorite TV chefs, and one of our key verses in chapter 2, verse 15, which really leads into chapter 3. Then we'll skip ahead to Peyton's comments on verse 10 and onward, and Paul's directions for how to handle divisive people. You know, those people who get into church and just cause division, arguments over everything. And then thirdly, and I think most interesting, Peyton has some great insight about those interesting verses at the end of so many of Paul's letters with greetings and directions for some of the church leaders way back then. For years, I just skipped over these, but I gotta say, Peyton really helped me see the amazing story and mission happening behind these verses. So, these are excerpts, which means we'll sort of jump between each one, and you'll hear a short pause each time. Hope you enjoy.
In chapter 2:15, where Paul says, "These then are the things you should teach, encourage, and rebuke with all authority," I like to think about a show that I watch. I watch a cooking show. Hopefully it's got the naughty words bleeped out, because Chef Ramsay can cuss, and man, can he yell at people. I always like to think about what a great chef he is. Other chefs say that to eat his food is like eating perfection itself. But if Chef Ramsay came to faith on the Isle of Crete, and he were a chef there in a kitchen somewhere tucked away on that island, Titus would need to tell him what behaviors he should continue and grow in. Things like being an excellent chef, someone pursuing dedication to his craft, someone who wanted to shine out for excellence. But then he would have to tell him, hey, maybe these other things that are part of your personality and the way you go about it, like yelling, berating, abusing, and cussing at people, Titus would have to tell Chef Ramsay, these things don't look anything like Jesus. You see, Chef Ramsay, you're not representing your restaurant anymore. You represent Jesus, and he's nothing like that. And so Paul goes on to say in verse 10, warn a divisive person once, and then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. You may be sure that such people are warped and sinful. They are self-condemned. You see, they might be using the law to condemn others, but Paul says they're actually condemning themselves. Here comes a three-strike rule for Paul. The three-strike rule is a doozy. Warn them once, do you right? Then warn them again, second time. After that, you're out of there. It's like a referee. But it seems severe. Why is Paul so strong on this? Because of his reason. You may be sure they're warped and sinful. That means consumed with their own sin. What Paul's saying here is this is a personal problem. As a leader, you can get so bogged down on people who are not willing to change. And this is somebody who needs a little, maybe alone time. They need to be by themselves, a little time out. Otherwise, Titus, they'll suck all of your time. And in a job like Titus had, setting up church leadership in multiple cities on an entire island, time was a luxury he just didn't have. There was work to do. There was a culture to transform. There was an island to conquer with the gospel. There were souls to be saved.
You know, if you get involved with lives that are radically changed and a church that is seeing life change like that, one thing that you are bound to see is Christians who may or may not mean well who want to jump in on new believers and give them a legalistic trip. And we see it again and again. And my wife has said she's got to protect her new believer ladies from those who jump in and say, oh, you're a Christian now. Here's a bunch of new rules for you to follow. And it's a guilt trip. And God is not giving a guilt trip. He's giving grace. And that is what transforms their lives. You know, verse 12 is an interesting one. A lot of Paul's letters close this way. As soon as I send Artemis and Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me. It's essentially, Paul ends a lot of letters by saying, I'm sending this person, send this person back, or you come back. I used to always skip over these, thinking that they were 2,000-year-old news. And I have to say, it wasn't until I saw what you do, and I recognized that what you do is this. And it opened my eyes to see this is actually the lifeblood of growing church and of church planting. So what is it that Paul's talking about here, and what is it that you do?
The important thing to remember about all first century missionaries and all first century ministry was that people like Paul and the huge amount of people that he references at both the beginning and the ending of his letters didn't stay put for long. They had a kingdom to expand. Therefore, they were shooting out all over the map, kind of like when you watch Indiana Jones and you watch the red arrow shoot out. If you go to the back of your Bible and you look at that map, you can picture kind of like when you're traveling on an airline, all those arrows showing where all the flights go out to everywhere in the world. Your Bible map would be absolutely crisscrossed and marked up with the travels of all 32 traveling companions that are mentioned in the New Testament. There are a lot of moving parts to first century mission. Like I said, Titus pops up all over the place, and Apollos turns up in both Corinth and Ephesus, and in this letter. He says, do everything you can to help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way and see they have everything that they need. Many of the churches served as mission rest stops, and as Apollos was there being an evangelist, of course, he would stop and he would preach the gospel and see another great influx of harvested souls. It's, to me, the most exciting part of the book. I have to confess, these are the passages I live in now because I learned so much about how the Apostle Paul functioned. And trust me when I say that a first century pre-Christian world has a lot of similarities with a post-Christian world like we have today. And we can apply many of the ways that they did mission then to how we can reach our nations and our communities today.
I love this stuff. When you glimpse inside these verses, a little peek behind the scenes, lives are changing. And Paul is organizing men and women on mission. I talked about just one church today. Peyton is working with churches all over the world, planting churches, raising up leaders, training online. This is what you do, and this is exciting stuff. For my listeners, especially if this mission stuff excites you, or if you need training to do what Titus did, I encourage you, I exhort you to check out what Peyton does. Some of it is in his books, Church Zero and Reaching the Unreached, but you can find all of it at peytonjones.ninja. Why ninja? Find out at peytonjones.ninja. If you want to learn to teach the word, to do what I do, I am recording a new series, Basic Training for Bible Teachers. Find that very soon under Topical Guides on the app. It's all free. Thank you, Peyton, and the rest of you. Thanks for joining us in the Word. Read Titus 3 today, and we'll see you back here in the next book.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.